Welcome to New Realities. I'm Alan Steinfeld. This program tonight is sponsored by Portal to Ascension, portaltoascension.com. Look for their upcoming webinars on their website, portaltoascension.com. Also on Facebook, I'll be hosting an event on January 20th, a disclosure event. Tonight, I have a very special broadcast that I just recorded with a bunch of astrologers predicting the new year, what's coming in 2018 and beyond, recorded today at the Edgar Cayce Center in New York. Please listen tonight at 3 p.m. East Coast time, 12 p.m. West Coast time. I'll be on coast to coast. So listen for that wherever that is being broadcast near you. And here is the panel of 2018 predictions. I'm picking it up a little bit into the whole proceedings. Enjoy.
Monty, why don't you give us what you were talking about, this history, this evolution of change that we're now in, and then involves Bitcoin. You know, we went from carrying gold to coins to cash to credit card. Now it's all computer. This is part of this huge cycle, of human evolution, yeah, that the stars chart. So how do you see the big picture here? Where are we going
with
all?
We're having the planetary returns right now. Let's say, and this is accurate, Marco Polo. Now what happened to Marco Polo? Marco Polo went twice to China.
Really?
No one believed it
he
existed.
He loved the food, anyway.
No one believed it existed in Venice.
Right.
He came back from China with all these things, and they said, you're a liar. Mm-hmm. You're defrauding. They were going to put him up for the Inquisition. He had to recant, so he had to go back again.
Really?
Bring back some ambassadors and other people.
And
know.
Spaghetti he brought back from China.
Yes, mm-hmm.
Yes,
he did.
Italians can thank him for that, but go ahead.
Yeah, so. Chinese for string is spaghetti.
Oh, is it?
Ah,
so, my grandfather was Mao Zedong's English teacher. So.
Really? All right, so, no, that's interesting.
Now,
yes.
So, what happened, let's look money. Let's just think Bitcoin, but let's look at Marco Polo, but Bitcoin today. Marco Polo brought back this newfangled, crazy, out-of-the-box invention called paper money.
Oh, he brought that back from China?
Yes.
Oh.
And everyone was laughing at him, ridiculing him, saying he was trying to defraud people of their money. They were going to give him gold. He was going to give him a piece of paper. This was meant. Look at Bitcoin. The U.S. dollar and Bitcoin are not based on anything solid.
Mm-hmm.
We are now entering an age of energy. We're changing ages. Please, everybody, go and look this. Be comfortable with this perspective. We're changing ages. We're not going from the Renaissance to the Enlightenment. We're changing ages from the age of Pisces to the age of Aquarius. Mm. Aquarius rules many, 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 many things, but among it, ET civilizations, anything off the planet of the Earth, it rules technology. Now, everyone said, well, when's the age of Aquarius really going to get started? Well, it started in 1743.
It did?
When they discovered. Now, when humankind can physically see a planet, physically.
Uh-huh.
They could finally physically see Uranus in 1743, mm-hmm, and we immediately had the American, French, and Industrial Revolutions.
Uh-huh.
Uranus rules innovation, rebellion, if blocked. See, all planets, it's a game plan of potential in your chart. Joseph Campbell called the astrological chart a map of potential. But you've got to trigger the elements of the potentiality.
Uranus, not to cut you, but this is the chart for the discovery of Uranus.
Oh, pass that around.
How convenient.
1743.
Yes.
But it was officially recognized at this time here, March 13, 1781, mm-hmm, by Sir William Herschel.
And yes. Did he name Uranus? Is he the namer?
He's a German living in London at the time, was part of the Royal Society of
Astronomy.
Okay, yes. Monty, please. Yes, thank
We're
you.
We're going
thank
into
you,
an age,
yes,
is 2,600 years long.
Okay.
We have not had an age of Aquarius since before recorded history.
Before the flood, at least.
We have not had an age of Aquarius since what we would approximate Atlantis.
Oh.
And Casey's always talking about Uranus. You can't pick up a single thing he wrote without him referring to Atlantis.
That's true.
So in 1743, when you discover a planet, what the planet rules,
mm-hmm,
what it is, suddenly starts activating and materializing in the human consciousness. So Uranus was revolution, democracy.
All these new ideas started getting floating around,
you see. Now, we're having a perfect storm right now. We are, now every time certain planets go around and you have the Uranus return of the discovery of Uranus, we have the Civil War.
Oh, that was the return Uranus was another restructuring?
So yeah, it gets re-triggered again and you had to take apart and start all over again. You had a country here that was based for its economy on indentured servants, slavery, and stealing land from the natives.
Okay.
Excuse me, that's true. No one can argue about it. And so then you have the Uranus come back again and you had World War One.
The war to
end all the triggers that fell after that. Now, right now, we're having the Uranus return of 1933. What was going on in 1933?
That was the crash of the market, the and the rise of Nazism, and the...
Would you look at the world today and not see that happening all over again?
Unfortunately.
Look at the Virginia protesters with neo-Nazis and the president saying there were good people on both sides. Excuse me. You know, so anyway, we're having to deal with this cycle. You can't just wait for it. Astrology doesn't function like a train schedule.
Right.
And when a planet goes over certain things or comes back to where it was, it doesn't cause anything. It triggers a potential that's there.
Okay.
So you can have an annihilating planet like Pluto go through your house of marriage. If your marriage isn't solid, if it's a sham, that marriage is over.
Right.
If that marriage, however, is deep and real and authentic, that very same planet is going to strengthen it. Now that's the way astrology works.
Interesting.
So we are right now having, in general, a perfect storm. You're having the return, planetary returns of the American Revolution. We're having it, just look at the news. We're having the planetary returns of the Civil War, all at the same time.
The Revolution and the Civil War at the same time.
And the third one is, we're having the planetary returns of the 1929 stock market crash.
Okay.
Now, that is, it's chaos. Yeah. My favorite saying is, chaos is the human perception of the divine plan.
We are going to see a collapse. Now, whenever Uranus enters a new sign, and as Monty was saying, we are in the third orbital cycle of Uranus since it was discovered. You'll see on that chart it was discovered when Uranus was in Gemini. And then I have the dates written down in notes because I was doing some of this calculation yesterday. And so you have a series of dates, years, when Uranus started a new zodiac cycle, meaning that Uranus entered Aries. Okay? So it has entered Aries twice since its discovery. And the last time was on March 11th. March 11th.
Of what year?
2011.
Uh-huh.
And I wrote the paper on that the year before, called The Enlightened Warrior, Uranus Transit Aries, 2010 to 2018. And at the end of the paper, I said, when Uranus enters this sign on that date, there'll be a big trumpet blowing. Because Uranus is the Aries is the ram, and back in the days the Jews blew the ram, and so and it's always prophecies, always prophecy. Aries is prophetic; it comes from the head. It's typical mythology, right? So when Uranus entered Aries on March 11, 2011, there was this trumpet call, this blowing of the horn.
How did that manifest?
9.0 earthquake in Fukushima, Japan, within a couple hours of the entry. I think it occurred before. What we call a hat trick, a triple play earthquake, all within this 24 hours. Earthquake, tsunami, nuclear explosion occurring. Boom, boom, boom.
Wow.
Right? The effect of which will probably last throughout the full Uranus 84-year transit around the solar system. That's how that entry into Aries start discussed right here in this paper that was published the year before. It's on my Facebook page, easy way, or you can get a copy.
So entering a new sign.
So now it's entering a new sign. It's the sign of Taurus. And that's going to be, here it is. Here's a chart for it. We're going to pass this one around. It says Uranus enters Taurus. It's going to be May 15, 2018. At the exact moment, it's 7:32 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
7:32. Now, yeah. Now, with your the other planets, I wouldn't be so concerned about accuracy and time and an event occurring when they, especially Neptune, it enters and you don't even know, right? It's an illusion. It's there and you're sleeping. But with Uranus, it's always an event. You always get an event.
Wow.
You always, when Uranus enters the house, I'm here, wow. Right? So we can hold this date and we can watch to see now what does Taurus rules? Financial markets.
Yeah. Oh, financial
crypto,
markets.
Cryptocurrencies, right?
Cryptocurrencies it rules?
No,
technology.
It rules the money.
Money.
It rules the money. Aquarius rules cryptocurrency.
Wait, I want to, I want to talk to Pamela. She had this similar.
What's going
to
be happening? Oh, you remember you asked when else would, what would be the other date?
Yes.
And I said, it's written down here, December 3rd, 2019.
Would you say it's good to invest in cryptocurrency before that date?
Okay, here's a story. When you have Uranus entering Taurus, you're going to have wild swings and volatility in financial markets. You're literally going to have the collapse of financial markets, the restructuring of global financial economic system, the introduction of what I would call the digital age or digital money. Because now you have what's called blockchain, if anybody's been following that in accounting, that's making audit obsolete. And you know, the auditing companies right now, I went to a seminar last June, July, a CPA seminar right here at the Penn Hotel, and everybody was scared that nobody, you know, that the audit profession and all the major accounting firms are going to collapse because of blockchain. What blockchain does, using peer computers the same way cryptocurrencies do, is that it allows you to independently verify transactions, right? And so therefore there is certainty. When you have certainty, then the audit function, which is based upon reviewing a sample of a population and extracting results in it when you do statistical sampling and things like that or other types of sampling, you know, to opine on the fairness of the financial statements as prepared by management, not by the auditors, this is how our system currently works. Well, we're going to move away from that. We're moving into a system now where the number is almost exact to the dollar.
Just talk to Pamela because she had that same May date with Uranus entering Taurus. So, do you agree, or did you have a different interpretation of Uranus and Taurus?
I think we're all paying attention to Uranus entering Taurus. But what I noted, and especially with Antot's business background, the New York Stock Exchange chart is May 17th, 1792. And its midheaven is zero Taurus.
Wait, so you're saying the entering of Uranus is exactly on the chart of the stock exchange?
Yes.
Yes.
Conjuncts
so,
that?
So, but
on the midheaven.
On the midheaven. But before everybody panics.
Okay. Don't pull your
I think the Fukushima thing, which was, cataclysmic is not a strong enough word, but
right.
it also happened at the zero Aries point. So zero Aries, zero Cancer, zero Capricorn, zero Libra, those touch the world axis. And the actual physical Earth was triggered. And it was the beginning of another Aries point cycle.
Right, and Taurus is the Earth sign, and
right,
so you're saying
it's fixed. It's going to be more of a steady and organic, and everything everybody's been saying about what Uranus does with the sign it's in is it reacts against it. So Aries, one of the things that I noticed was Aries distills down to I am. And one of the things that became so big with Uranus and Aries was everybody taking pictures of themselves and posting it on every Twitter feed, Facebook feed, I mean, everything. But then at the tail end of Uranus and Aries, what do we hear? Me too. So it's this spin on I am, which is so very much about very feminine good. Energy. Oh, I think it's good.
That's very good.
Me too. But it's not just I am, which we know is the two words of God, of Yahweh, but it's bringing in the feminine. So me too becomes basically the collective. And we are in an 11-year, which to me goes back to the High Priestess, the two tarot cards. She's sitting between two pillars. And in 11, it's, of course, the Justice card. So we are working on balance. I do know a lot of young men who are fabulous. So I don't think they're all just living in their parents' home playing their video games. No, I am saying that there is a... there's a very strong movement of men, and not just young men, but who are just totally on board with this. They're no longer like playing house or trying to share the what goes on at the home. They do it. You know, they don't. They know how to sew a button on a sleeve. They know how to cook their dinner. So it's we're getting into something very different. And
does the Me Too movement reflect the same conjunction that the 1960s sexual revolution from a different angle? Someone said that was an alignment. This is a square.
We've come off. That was Uranus Pluto happened in the mid 60s.
Right.
The conjunction. Then we went through the square 2008 to 2012. Now we're in processing point, and 2020, which we'll probably talk about a little more after the break, has a couple of very great conjunctions and huge movements. But for this year, when Uranus moves into Taurus, all the planets, all the outer planets, are going to be in earth and water signs.
And what does that mean?
That is yin energy, what some people might call the feminine energy. Saturn in Sagittarius last year was incredibly hard. And Uranus in Aries has been absolutely just shaking the ground we stand on. What's fascinating when you were talking about Election Day is on Election Day, Uranus has gone, it enters Taurus May 15th, and then it goes retrograde over the summer, and on...
You mean it goes back out of Taurus?
Yes. On Election Day, it slips back into Aries.
Wow.
So literally anything can happen on
Wow.
Election Day.
2018 Election Day.
The midterm. It's the last gasp of what my daughter calls those old white men holding on to dear life, trying to keep things the way it's always been. Present company is, of course, not all old white men. But when you look at pictures of our government,
that's very interesting. But any solid predictions of what that could mean for the Uranus entering Taurus on May 15th?
On May 15th.
Like, what could that actually look like?
I'm in agreement that Donald Trump always saying that he's always referring to the stock market as being, see how great the economy's going. For people whose wages have not increased, the economy doesn't feel like it's doing great. One of the problems with our economy is that the corporate structure, which has been deteriorating since 2008 and needs to shape shift and change, basically what's happening is our entire retirement economy is based on you're investing, you're putting money in your IRA and your 401 and whatever. And all that stuff is insurance companies, military, things that are not sustaining us. So it's this whole perverse, we're in bed with a really bad, it is not sustainable.
Get out of bed.
Right, it's not sustainable. So meanwhile, corporate taxes, which he put the change in, he made sure he raced that signature change. while Mercury was still retrograde. It was changing sign. I mean, it was going direct the day he signed it, but he signed it. He wanted to sign it before he went to Florida.
The tax bill.
So it was signed with Mercury retrograde.
Which means... It's what?
Let somebody else talk.
We're going to revisit it. All right, so...
You've got to do it all over again. What? When you do something under a Mercury retrograde, when it goes direct, you have to do it all over again.
Oh, interesting. Actually, could you talk a little bit about Bitcoin? Because Anta mentioned
that. Well, this is the Uranus going into Taurus. Taurus is the money you can hold in your hand.
Right. Taurus
is real money. Right. It's not cyber currency. It's not technology. Okay. It's not theory.
But Uranus is not as real as Taurus in that sense. It's more etherical and electric.
The three outer planets.
Yes.
Let's just get some terms. Mm-hmm. First, let me preface this. Do you know that what the word disaster really means?
To out of touch with the stars.
It means to be without stars. It's a navigational term. Sailors used that in ancient Greece because when the fog came in and you could not see the stars, you did not know where you were.
That was a disaster, yes.
And that was a disaster. Outer planets, Uranus, Neptune, and Pluto. These, when they touch something or go into sign, change things permanently.
And it changes things in a massive way, in a global way.
Yes, but in three different styles.
Okay.
Uranus won't make changes, and he's the one we're talking about, like striking it with lightning. Suddenly, a bolt out of the blue. Oh my God.
Like the earthquake. Mm-hmm. Yes.
It integrates things into a small universe.
Yes.
Neptune changes things by dissolving it, the way an iceberg that's been there for thousands of years dissolves into the sea. The water has not been destroyed, the form of it has changed. You see, that's the big difference. Pluto rules actual tectonic plates and all of these things, but the actual act of an earthquake is Neptune. He is the original god of earthquakes. Mm-hmm. So when you had the Fukushima thing, you had Uranus, Neptune, and Pluto all involved in this. These are the outer planets. Now, the northern Pacific has been permanently polluted with radiation.
From
the salmon Fukushima. Industry is dying.
It's awful.
We cannot, you know. Then if you look at the other side of the world, we had that big oil spill in the Gulf. I'm not going to eat shrimp from the Gulf.
No.
Mm. Right.
I'm sorry.
Right.
Yeah, so all of these things, they change things permanently. So money, the concept of what money is, will be absolutely irrevocably changed suddenly and in a mutated way.
On May 15th.
It doesn't work
around
like
that.
Yeah. Around them. That's when the trigger happens.
Okay.
It's like lighting the fuse. It might take a long time for the fuse to get to the
But explosives. Something's going to definitely change in the money system this coming cycle.
Most definitely. I've been saying it for 5 years.
All right.
And when you see this, and so that's obviously going to affect an awful lot of things because money, see, the second house in Taurus rules not only money, but it rules your values, your core beliefs. What you think is real. It like certain things like the earth is round.
Right.
When the earth, whatever thought the earth was flat, then along comes Uranus.
Oh. And now some people are actually thinking it's flat again, which
is
they're
trying to go back. You have throwbacks.
But you're talking, go back to Bitcoin and its evolution.
Bitcoin is now an innovative, energetic, electronic concept. And it helps a lot when you learn to think archetypally, this is what Jung's genius was, and he brought it to astrology. Money is permanently mutated. Mutation happens when evolution is suppressed. We have not been allowing the free markets to work. We've been taking it off and doing artificial things like taking it off the gold standard, the pound sterling, off the silver standard.
Right.
A great old Celtic astrologer, when I did a thing at the UN, he said so wisely, he said, you know, it's a terrible thing. You see, the sun rules gold and silver rules the moon. And he said, it's a terrible thing when you take the sun and the moon out of the money.
Wow.
And that was just speaking poetically. It sounds nice.
Would you say it's a smart thing to invest in Bitcoin?
I wouldn't invest in anything. I invest is long term. Don't expect Bitcoin to stay stable. It's not supposed to.
Okay, but...
The whole world has to get a new paradigm that... Money and value is fluid.
Mm.
It's moving all the time, like waves in the ocean.
But it's here to stay, is what, like
permanent.
Credit cards. So let's concentrate a little bit more on this year, and then we're going to get to the long range stuff as well. So let's finish up. What else we see for this, Pamela? You ready for us?
for this year? Or we shouldn't,
Joan,
tell us what's happening, what you see.
I'm having a different perspective than the astrologist. Well, one thing, I've always been seeing Florida shrink, and I tell my clients who are moving here, don't buy by the water. But that's something actually is happening. Miami has floods when it doesn't rain. But on a positive note, something that I predicted about 2 years ago, and then I actually saw the beginnings of it, and I was very happy. I saw this incredible technology for people who are blind. It's a high tech that we could put in the eyes. You saw that. But I predicted it before I saw it, and that's going to be developed. They're definitely going to do more development. Oh, I didn't see it as gene. I saw a high tech. I did see something where they were in, it was high tech like lenses and something. So that's very positive. Another positive thing would be I did see a cell with a needle going through it, and that could just be a cancer cell where they're just being, there was going to be a breakthrough with cancer. And I do, thank goodness, that diabetes is going to be new techniques and new ways of dealing with it. It's just
like changing your diet is one way.
Yeah, of course, but something that there's going to be different ways of looking at the energy for things, and we know vibrational medicine is going to be more in tune. And let me see my notes.
While you're looking at your notes, I want to ask Monty about December 16th, 2017 was a major breakthrough. The New York Times announced the presence of UFOs. Was that, how does that show up in the astrology of the world, of the chart of the U.S.?
That is Uranus, which rules anything off the Earth, as well as innovative technology, ETs.
Right.
Going through the house of new beginnings, that it's going through Aries right now.
At the end of Aries, though.
It's at the end of Aries. It's been going on. We've been seeing so many news things about, oh, they saw UFOs. Oh, no, they didn't see UFOs. And it's been coming and going and coming and going.
Yes.
Last time I was on a panel discussion, you were talking about how I said this is the Uranus opposition of the landing on the moon. And you said they were destroying the space program and blah, blah, blah. I said, well, Uranus challenges what it started. If you're not doing it the right way or for the right reason, it'll make everything mutate for you.
But will there be more revelation as Uranus moves into Taurus? What do you see?
There's going to be tons of them. Now you have to, especially with Uranus entering the status quo world of what you think reality is.
Is that Taurus? Taurus.
So you're going to absolutely see. They've even now, with all these science programs and everything they have, they've actually confirmed scientifically that jellyfish are extraterrestrial.
Really?
Yes.
What?
I did not know.
Yeah,
that.
And that's a whole organism that has no brain. The whole organism is the brain. And they've discovered things for Alzheimer's from jellyfish.
Wow.
So this is, but you see, we're not aware of it, you see.
The
powers behind are suppressing information.
What else do you have worked out here in your charts? Anything for the future?
Well, the political parties, you've already seen your last two-party election.
I agree with you.
You'll never see another
here,
one.
Here.
Really? You agree? Is that in the chart? Where does that show up in the chart? How does that show up?
Well, that's, again, the squares and aspects of Uranus to other planets, like Pluto in Capricorn, you see. And so Pluto is changing all the structures of the world, including government and corporations. Can you tell the difference between a government and a corporation?
I don't think so.
Excuse me. So that's what's happening, and Uranus is going to blow it wide open. Now, well, there's four parties right there.
Right.
Then you've got the independent party. And you're going to find that in practical purposes, they're going to fuss with the wording, but you're going to have five political parties in the next election.
Do you see that too, Pamela, in the charts? What do you see?
Well, basically what we're all looking at is the United States is going to have a Pluto return.
Oh, yeah.
So this is basically the build-up to the return of where the United States was originally formed and founded.
When is the Pluto return? What is it?
2024, is that when it's
exact?
Yeah, you see,
but
yeah,
this is all very progressive. So think back to
they happen when, gradually. They're like a glacier.
Yeah.
You don't see it
right.
day by day.
But it is, we can see that it's happening. I mean, basically the old systems are falling down. The country as it was formed by white male landowners is a very different population today. So basically what the United States looks like or should look like, and then I get very Aquarian when I start saying, well, until the First Nations have a seat at our governing bodies, we are not going to be whole.
Yes.
Yeah. Those white males, what is that we're going to do with them?
It's not personal.
I don't take it personal. But,
I always call it not the second American Revolution, but the American Evolution. So I think.
But without evolution.
Evo. I'm sorry. Oh, I must have
Wait, you had something to say too?
Well, I was going to add to Pamela's point about Pluto, which is that the orbit of Pluto is about 240 years, give and take, and nobody lives past their Pluto opposition, which is about 120 years, about the age of people who live very long.
Yes.
And I would also argue that no institution lives past its Pluto return. You're going to actually go
Except
through
the Catholic
a rebirth,
Church.
A rebirth, a rebirth.
So the Pluto return of the U.S.
And death and resurrection.
So you're comparing the fact that no one really lives past their Pluto opposition to where the U.S. might not have to have a rebirth itself.
Meaning that the values and the purpose that brought the U.S. into existence from 1776, starting with the discovery of Uranus in 1781, much earlier year spotted, has come to an end.
Yes.
The transformation, the purpose, you know, astrology is a good thing, but it's also a horrible thing.
Why is that?
Because, you know, it's like a law in the universe. Once you have served your purpose, you are just kind of taken out of the system. And the proof of that is that whatever is dominant or brings in an age, what is the same thing that's destroyed at the end of the age. Another point to note, and the same thing with the age of Aries, with the ram to be destroyed, and then you have the age of Pisces, and you see the falling of the church now. The church was the biggest spiritual organization in the world in the past 2,000 years. We know that, right? The richest too, right?
Yeah.
They gave us the concept of corporations today.
Right.
All right. But it has changed. It is being destroyed because it's the end of the age, the period, right?
Yes.
Ages, what I discovered, do not, because if you notice, Buddhism started, which gave compassion and everything, 500 years before the age of Pisces. Yes.
Right.
Right? Okay. So what you learn is that ages don't, you know, we think they progress or you know, slowly, gradually unfold. No. Ages come in full blast, boom, at the beginning of the age. And then what they do, they taper down throughout the end of the age. And before the next age officially starts on the calendar, which is going to be about 80 to 150 years from now, when on a sidereal chart, the spring equinox will fall in Aries.
Mm.
It's not in Aries now. It's about 6 degrees of Pisces going towards Aries. Until that date, the age has already started. And now we're making another shift from the age of Pisces into the age of Aquarius. So you have technology, you have digital money, you have a digital economy. So we're seeing now, to bring it back
we'll get to that, because that's a whole story.
Yeah.
But I just want to say, if you look at the ceiling at Grand Central, it goes from Cancer into Aquarius, and I think that it's the procession of the equinoxes starting from the time of the flood, which was probably in the age of Cancer,
to where we are going, the age of Aquarius, and it's all on the ceiling of the Grand Central Station, so look for that. And there's a crossing point there where we're sort of at now, where we will go to more of an ascended future, I feel. The next level of humanity is the Aquarian age. The
astrological chart functions exactly the way an MRI functions, or an X-rays.
Explain.
Does an MRI cause what it reveals?
It just shows it.
The MRI shows you what you can't see up front. Mm-hmm. Now, maybe if you have some knowledge about what's going on behind the scenes, you might have something called free will and insight and start looking at it. So right now you have hidden manipulative effects going on in every government worldwide, trying to manipulate what the public gets, media, etc. And that's what's happening.
Interesting. We have some interesting long-range predictions. Do you want to talk about 2020 Election Day first, and then we'll go over to the upcoming eclipse and how that's going to affect the whole future of the planet, really. But what do you have about 2020?
Well, 2020, there's a couple of things that are happening that are big movements, and again, the Great Conjunction happens for the first time.
What's the Great Conjunction?
The Great Conjunction is when Jupiter and Saturn are in the same sign.
What sign is that?
And in this case, they enter into zero Aquarius. And this is basically what happens with Great Conjunctions is they move in element cycles. So we finish the Great Conjunctions of 200 years from 1802 to 2000 that were in Earth signs. Mm. So our attachment basically post-industrial revolution up until 2000 was all about let's build more, let's consume more.
And the material world.
The material world.
Right, Earth.
And now we'll be entering into an air cycle of 200 years. Mm-hmm. So when people say, you know, what should I do with my money or what should I invest in? Invest in ideas, invest in inspiration, invest in concepts, invest in possibilities.
Beautiful.
Because that's what air's about, and it dovetails beautifully with the age of Aquarius.
Wow, it brings tears to my eyes. Yes. So that, what, and the election day 2020 is, has a interesting. At least
did I do that? We'll
get back to that. Do you agree with that, Monty? The in Aquarius,
yep.
The grand conjunction in Aquarius.
I could look at the universal years. 2020 is four structure order, but the budget very tight. You have to be very practical and realistic that year. So it's not going to be selling La La Land to the American people. It's about really get down and work, and it's going to be long hours and no play. Not exactly, but nose to the grunts for building things. So maybe we do start to build our roads or the bridges, and we
or
do
restructure.
Like restructure.
Them.
That's going to be important. But the budget, and we're going to have to finally say we're open.
And maybe flying cars will come into play in this whole.
They won't be able to function with that kind of intelligent conversation because.
What do you mean?
If you want to talk about a budget,
yes,
it has to suit what it's designed to do, and if it can't accommodate cryptocurrency, if it can't accommodate mutating economies, if it can't accommodate multiple political parties, if it can't accommodate a polarized nation so divided that we have exactly the same tensions that we had at the time of the Civil War, all the budgeting in the world is not going to do any good.
So what do you think we could do?
What are you applying a budget to?
So what do you suggest then?
Well, this is where we're going to become more global, and we can't be so regional. And you have all of this fighting back and forth in Congress.
So it's not us against the world. It's the world as a unification of consciousness.
And you can't fight that one.
And it's a square. That four is
2020.
Exactly. It's a square.
Maybe that, actually, the UN is doing something about the year 2020 as a global initiative.
It's a more conservative energy that year.
Is it?
Yeah, it's a four. I locked up in the box, kind of conservative way you try to work. Things like that.
Well, Antot here has some very interesting predictions about this whole next big eclipse that's coming across the U.S. And why don't you go through it, Andrew?
Sure, I'm going to go through it, but I just want to add to what was said before about the conjunction between Saturn and Jupiter.
Yes.
Okay, in Barack Obama's chart, and I'm looking at it right here, you can question the location, but he has Jupiter at 0 degrees Aquarius, conjunct in Saturn at 25 degrees Capricorn.
What does that mean? Right? Is that interesting for you, Pamela?
So when that conjunction comes together, much of what, you know, you notice he's being demonized now. All of his stuff are being reversed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's what, remember, he's a Leo, and the eclipse went through Leo.
Oh.
So that's why this is happening to him. His head is being chopped off, so to speak. Oh. But it rises back again in 2020.
I think it's going to be re-implemented.
Right? I always say, Trump is going to make Obama more famous than he ever was.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
But you see a return of Obama in 20, according to this, there's an exaltation.
I'm just showing you a relationship.
Or his concepts. Yeah. Very good.
Can he come in at another part of the party? Maybe not as president, but as on the administration. People will be thinking he's running the country instead of somebody else. Mm-hmm. But let's go to something very important that's happening that I did some calculation on yesterday. Mm-hmm. And I'll pass the chart around. Now, when you look at this, what you're looking at is the eclipse that occurred last year, August 21st, 2017. And that's the line that goes through here from Portland to
Charleston,
South Carolina, cutting across the red states and basically turning the underbelly of the United States inside out. Well, then in 2024, right, April, which is the time when you're going to have the Pluto return, right, 4 years after 2020, you're going to have another eclipse going the opposite direction, all right, cutting across the United States.
Mm.
And where they intersect is a little town. I did it visually, so, you know, this is close to, but not exact, to a town called Paducah in Kentucky, if you can see it. We'll pass this around.
Southwestern Kentucky is where the eclipses cross.
Where the intersection of those two eclipses will be, that, you know, as shown on this map. It will be the border of five states, if you include Kentucky as one state. It would be Missouri, Illinois, Indiana, Tennessee, and Kentucky.
Oh, it's interesting. Right, where all those states come together.
Right. Why is that important? It's very important because that's a very sensitive point in the United States, continentally. Mm. Goes back into the Casey readings about earth changes, all right?
Wow.
That Casey did in the year 1936.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And I could give you some of the readings, the reading number, and quote some of them. All right. The West Coast is important, and according to KC, I never make predictions about earthquakes for the United States. For 4 years straight, I predicted all the earthquakes that occurred to the date, almost to the time, from 2006 to 2010.
Using astrology.
Using a dream.
Using
a dream. But supported by astrology. I would have never thought of ever predicting an earthquake, just like most people here would never think of it. I never thought of it too until I got the dream.
Okay. Right?
The dream changed everything. Not only did it predict the ascension of Obama, it also predicted the earthquake that occurred in Hawaii on October 15th, 2006.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
So might happen?
So when I saw that and the two eclipses, knowing my work on earthquake using eclipses, I said, well, I got to figure out, you know, midpoints are very important in astrology. So I said, I got to figure out what's the midpoint of these two eclipses, the one occurring on April 8th, 2024, and the one occurred last year, August 21st. So I did my calculation, right? And we did them yesterday. And the total, I did it by days,
mm-hmm.
right? So I calculate the number of year, 365, add in the leap year, and then I did the months, came up to a total of 2,421 days
mm-hmm.
between August 21st, 2017, and April 8th, 2024. Mm-hmm. Divide that by two to find out the midpoint.
Mm-hmm.
What date is that? Did the calculation again all the way down, boom.
What'd you get?
November 3rd,
2020. Okay. Went on this checked it.
Election day.
Election day, Tuesday. That's,
so maybe the earthquake will be an earthquake in the election.
Human.
Maybe not a human earthquake.
Or all of them.
Now, anybody that's looking at this map, and I have the two charts here, one for the 2024 and one for Leo. So the next eclipse in 2024 is going to be in Aries. What does Aries say? New beginning. Mm-hmm. Didn't we say that? So what you're really witnessing over the six-year period that starts essentially with the eclipse of last year is the destruction of the United States.
Oh, wow.
The destruction of the United States.
As we know it.
Than one levels. Political, financial, social, I mean there are social programs and so on, and also physical, because this is where the KC readings come in. That's telling you that after you see a major earthquake occur, either in the Big Island of Hawaii or South Pacific, within 3 months, he said that's a warning, within 3 months, you're gonna start seeing the earthquakes occurring on the West Coast. Now, once those earthquakes start occurring on the West Coast, they're not gonna stop. They're not gonna
really
stop. I've been saying that for the longest time.
They're not
the United States, north of its southern border, has been earthquake free. I mean, anything
north of Mexico, you're saying?
Southern border, north of Mexico, has been earthquake free, I would say, for the past 50, 60 years.
Except for Oklahoma, because of the fracking.
Yeah, well, but those are small earthquakes. I don't really call, I look at, the only earthquakes I look at, 7.0 or greater.
Okay.
Right? 7.0 or greater.
There's been no 7.0 or greater in the U.S. continental.
The U.S. Maybe one or two when it was occurred in Los Angeles, but we haven't seen anything. What's going on in Mexico? What's going on in South America, in Argentina, in Chile, on the Ring of Fire, all the way up in Alaska, not touching the United States. We're like, oh, we're good, we're free, we're nice. Mm-hmm. But my point, and you notice that the New Madrid was only triggered once, and it created a lot of trouble, right? So what's going to really happen now is that once you see this earthquake occur, whether it be Big Island or South Pacific, then you're going to start seeing the unraveling, physical unraveling of North America continent. That's when the earthquakes are going to start. And once they start, they won't stop.
And Casey predicted this.
This is in the Casey readings.
Question. Yes. Pamela had an interesting observation about Pluto returns. What were you saying, Pamela?
The only thing I want to say about a Pluto return in regards to the United States, and I, you know, all this is fascinating with the earth and money and systems and our government about to, well, it's in the process of change. We are an adolescent country. When you look at the United Kingdom, when you look at the Netherlands, when you look at countries that have been empires and have gone through shifts, they are not operating on the same government that they were originally forged on. So our government is irrevocably transforming and changing life as we've known it, and systems as we've known it are shifting. But once it's recreated, whether we're a cluster of little Americas working under an umbrella, whether we're a 10-party system, whatever we become, it is... Yes, it's, and I think it's also definitely factored in with the earth and what we were talking about with the Indians being amazed that we had the hubris, European had the hubris to think they could actually own the earth. So once we unite with, and you reference Pele a lot, and I was just thinking of the goddess of fire. So this is all about, we have to burn through all the crap that isn't working. And that's how we evolve, resurrect, and become something awesome.
Monty, do you see a positive future for the planet?
I think everything that's been said is positive.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
This is preventing, if it were a human body, the United States, we're taking urgent measures now to prevent terminal cancer. That's the way I see it.
Like dismantling the old
system.
As
above, so below, everything works together. This country is based on too many falsehoods, too many illusions.
the public has been dumbed down. Mm-hmm. It's a third of the public telling the rest of the country what to do, and I love the poorly educated. Remember that little quote from his?
Who said that?
Trump.
I love the
poorly educated.
He loves the poorly educated?
He loves the poorly educated.
They can be manipulated.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. When Hillary said it, look what happened.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So what does the future look like in your...
A global society is going to say, get over it about all this patriotism and nationalism and separatism.
Right.
Start looking for the global benefit of humankind. Work together, you see, because we've degenerated in all binary systems like elections into a Super Bowl mentality.
Right.
Who's going to win? Who's got... That's the thrill, you see.
Right.
According to Casey, out of Russia comes the freedom of the world.
Yeah.
And Casey was very hard on the United States in all of his readings, very hard. And I won't go through them here because there are a number of them. But in terms of earth changes, which is the other factor, the unseen factor, the part that's not being calculated into political algorithm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
This is what's going to shift things. You know, we talk about terrorism or fear of terrorism. We won't care about terrorism when earth changes begin.
Mm-hmm.
Global warming, it's not really global warming. It is Uranus set creating extreme weather patterns.
Yeah.
Is it?
So you're going to have extreme cold, extreme hot. Both occurring, that instability.
And Pluto is extremes.
And you, so the next thing now I want to mention, we talk about Mid-Atlantic Ridge. You know, this is what could really cripple this country economically. Mm-hmm. And we talk about Pelé and the other West Coast area and the effect on the West Coast and what Casey said. There's another area that I should point out, so you can take this home also in the notes. It's called the Mid-Atlantic Ridge.
What is that?
The Mid-Atlantic Ridge is a ridge, tectonic ridge coming together in the center of the Atlantic Ocean at very deep depths with mountains down there that are higher than Everest.
Mm.
Okay?
But I want to talk about a positive note, even if we have a destruction. First of all, it's the age of Aquarius, and we will be interdimensional if we so choose. The body's an illusion. So if we have more teachings of this ancient study of the mind and cosmic consciousness and body, we're okay. It doesn't matter if I'm flooded or I'm burnt. The other thing, we are going to cultivate Mars. That's, there are people getting PhDs in it. And we will be able to have clone some species that have died off. We may even be making it so they don't eat each other and stuff. And so there are some new ways of humanity. So there's, you know, things get old, we go to a new place. This becomes the cesspool. Then we go to Mars and we found that Earthlings were there and that was a cesspool. And they went to Earth.
We should clean up the cesspool before we leave it.
Yeah, but the new generation does have a lot of interesting things for technologies of cleaning rivers.
Definitely.
And cleaning oceans.
Free energy. I think once the UFO situation is acknowledged, they're not getting here by filling up their gas tank. They have a technology, zero-point technology.
Right, but the problem with that is we don't want to call them the enemy.
They're not the enemy. They are friends.
The government has that
they're here. The government is suppressing the information. But once this technology is out, I don't think we'll be slaves to energy anymore. What good news do you have for us?
Well, again, Uranus and Taurus, it's how do we create revolution change within the sign of Taurus. Taurus is money, Taurus is our relationship to the earth, Taurus is our relationship with our bodies.
Mm.
And so each one of us is, Monty referred to earlier, my guru Carl Jung, each one of us is a drop in this ocean. You each have the power why isn't California falling into the sea? Because everybody in California does not want it to fall into the sea.
Right.
So we are moving into, as I said, 200 years of air. Let us just, each individual, meditate, have perspective of things that just blast through fear. When you walk through Grand Central Station, just do heart math energy, send out, shoot out love, pink light. And we do not want to live in fear. We create our own prisons. We can actually shape shift the earth. I totally believe it. Uranus and Taurus, let's do it.
When a radical shift occurs, all of a sudden people don't care about that anymore. And they start they've been brought back, jolted back into reality. So my view is, I'm very positive about the future. I'm very positive about the ascent of man, the evolution of man, the evolution of consciousness, particularly going into the 21st century. I mean, the
22nd century.
22nd century, which is 2100 AD outwards. But we're going to have some rough roads to travel through in the near term.
How can people find you on your website?
The best is to... A-N-T-O-T, I have some business cards over there. I have some in my pocket. A-N-T-O-T at celestialaffairs.com. If you go on my website, there's a section called Skywatch, and there are tons of articles there that I've written over the years, and a lot of these things are discussed.
Great. Joan.
Okay, Joan Cara, my psychicjoancara.net. I do have the business card there. I also do private sessions at the Edgar Cayce Center in case you need to have a reading. Never give up hope, because we're just beams of light, and the world has always been like that. So we're learning to love each other more, because we've made some roads. Even though there's still a struggle, we're still more accepting. As I said, I had a Chinese sister-in-law, a Japanese brother-in-law. I dated a black guy at the same time. And if I was 10, I would have had my mother saying, that can never happen. You'll get beat up thinking about that. So we've evolved. And we're seeing this more and more. We're accepting transgender. So we're becoming where, if there's prejudice and people still holding on to it, we're going to learn to communicate and cross those barriers with ETs, showing that we're interdimensional. And one thing of hope, 30 years ago, 40 years ago, there was an article in the New York Times. They interviewed these Carmelite nuns who are cloistered. They never come out, but they decided to tell the world what they've been doing. Mm-hmm. They said, we meditate and pray for peace on the earth. That's why we didn't have the explosion during the Cuban Missile Crisis. We're responsible. We put a whole band of peace.
A little ego-based, but that was nice of them anyway.
But they took responsibility.
Yeah.
They're working on it.
Monty, what's the future look like for you and us and the world?
Total unending change for the rest of our lifetimes.
That's astrology.
In gradual and rapid ways. But it's, you talked about the one prediction of an earthquake in New York that Cayce made that didn't happen.
Yeah.
That's exactly what those Carmelite nuns are talking.
Right.
He said the consciousness of New York City changed, and the earthquake is no longer necessary. Mm-hmm. You know,
predictions are made sometimes to prevent them from happening.
That's a good one.
Well, people don't learn from the past. Mm-hmm. They don't look. They don't even connect dots. Mm-hmm. Look at two countries that have earthquakes every other day. Mm-hmm. Italy and Japan. Mm-hmm. Italy's still making great big marble and granite buildings, and Japan figured out how to make them out of paper.
Mm-hmm. Right. So how can people find you, and what are you up to?
Monty Taylor, 22. See, there's the two twos. Mm-hmm. Monty Taylor, 22 at Gmail, quite simply.
Thank you, Monty.
I can leave a few cards.
Okay. But, and Pamela, what do you have final words here?
I think it's a responsibility and a privilege to be alive at this amazing time.
Yes.
And we are so blessed to be in a conscious part of the world, and we have a responsibility for that. So hopefully we've given you some work to do to just spread the light. You can find me at insightoasis.com if you'd like to work with me. And I'm doing a couple of teleseminars this week about forecasting the year. And you can find out about that at spotonastrology.com.
Thank you. And I'm Alan Steinfeld. And what I think is possibly the dissolution of the U.S. might be the unification of the world. You know, in biology, when cells united, they form colonies first. And then something magic happens when two cells were just associating. Then they become a multicellular organism where they have a single consciousness. So
all these separate consciousnesses of all these separate countries. When we come together, we can unify into a single consciousness. So this is what I think is the possibility of the Aquarian Age, the contact with the ETs, the evolution of humanity. So I think we're in for some real, well, obviously, very exciting times. I'm very happy to be part of this. Actually, I'm going to be on Coast to Coast tonight talking about some of the Coast to Coast at 3 a.m. Dave Schrader's interviewing me, so look for that. Thank you all. You can find me at my website, newrealities.com, my YouTube station, youtube.com/newrealities. Thank you all so much.